Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is How Stocks Now Radio Show with Jamila Thomas. I'm so excited today because we have just a beautiful woman on the show today to talk about her journey. As we all know, those of you who have been following the show and following on social media, How Stocks Now is all about answering your how question in the affirmative. You receive a dream or a vision, and typically you ask yourself, how am I going to do that? And normally, before you even have gotten it down on paper, you talk yourself out of it. You say, I don't have enough time, money, energy, or it's too hard to bear, so therefore I just won't do it. Well, I'm encouraging people to answer their how question in the affirmative by asking themselves four key questions: what, where, when, and whom. And you'll find that as you begin to ask yourself those questions and answer them, you'll begin to not only affirm yourself, but you will also affirm your vision. So, Ms. Davis, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show. I just think you have a powerful story that so many people need to hear as you talk through, you know, how obstacles turn into opportunities. So I want to give you the opportunity to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you so much. First of all, Jamila, I just am so excited. I was so excited when I got your message about being on the show. I have watched you blossom over the past year with your How Stocks Now, and I think it's amazing work. So thank you for this opportunity today.
Amen. Amen to that.
So for all of your listeners, my name is Elle Davis, and a year ago, April 16th, 2014, to be exact, I woke up very happy, very excited. I am a wife and a mother of a very busy, bouncy two-year-old, and life was good, right? I was just, my husband and I woke up to, like, early morning conversation, which we usually did. It was great conversation. My daughter was on spring break, and so my mother and I were, you know, planning the day to take her, enjoy, like, the Children's Museum and enjoy the sights of Chicago. And my husband went to go play tennis. He was an avid tennis player, loved tennis, riding his bike to the, you know, gym to go play tennis as he loved to do so often. And so the day was a normal day. And unfortunately, very quickly, that normal day went sour at about 11 p.m. And what happened at 11 p.m. that night is my daughter awoke, crying, and she came into the room with my husband and I, and that was normal. You know, sometimes she wakes up in the middle of the night and she's just like, I want mommy and daddy. But usually my husband would wake up to her, and so that night he didn't, you know, he didn't wake up, and I'm just like, oh, okay, he's very tired, you know, he had a long day of tennis, he's tired. And so I grabbed my daughter and I put her you know, I put her in the bed with us. But something wasn't right. My daughter's still moving around, and you know, I'm like, why are you so busy? What's going on? And so I grab her, and then I push my husband to say, like, wake up. And Jamila, instantly, I knew, like, instantly, my heart sank because I knew that at that moment, my husband was not breathing. And so I jumped out of bed, and I went over to his side, and I could see, you know, he was asleep, but I you know, felt the pulse, and I'm like, my husband, before we had seen a new day, had died in his sleep. And so I instantly, you know, I called my parents, I called 911, I'm like, you know, grabbed my daughter, like holding her tight and just like, you know, thinking I'm dreaming. Like, I keep trying to wake myself up, like, I'm dreaming.
Absolutely.
This is not real. There's no way that this is real. And so, you know, it just, the paramedics came and they confirmed that he had stopped breathing, and my family came very quickly and my friends. And of course, at that time, I'm just, you know, my first reaction was like, how am I going to make it through the next 24 hours, let alone I've made it through this past year, and just wasn't quite sure, you know, what that would look like. And so I instantly, within the first couple of days after my husband's death, I knew that I had to you know, be strong and carry on, if for no other reason than because I had a 2-year-old little girl who was a daddy's girl by far and who loved her daddy and just loved, you know, her parents and the time that we spent with her. And so she was definitely early on my strength. Like, I knew I had to do things and do them right because of her and for her. And so I made a very conscious decision to kind of live out loud and not, you know, hide behind the loss and not go into a state of depression and, you know, get involved in things so that I can share my testimony and be life for someone else and let someone else know, even though your world came crumbling down in a matter of minutes, seconds, that you still can push through, you can carry on, you can turn that obstacle into amazing opportunities that allow you to live out loud and allow you to share your voice with others. And so that's what I've been doing this past year. I made sure that I stayed nurtured with my friends and family. I made sure that I stayed committed to God by, you know, being involved in my church and having my church family. And I made sure that I took care of my mental health. I was in a therapist's office 3 weeks after my husband passed because I knew my background was in social work, so I knew I needed that. And from being able to be involved in all of that, a lot of things were born. So I created new opportunities. I became a co-author of a book about single parenting just 7 months after my husband passed. I started a support group for wives called Circle of Wives, where women have come into my home every 7 to 8 weeks and, you know, talked about what it means to be a wife and the importance of what our role is as women in our marriages. I did a 7-week grief support group virtually where I had people calling in, and they suffered all kinds of loss, not just widows, but it's people who lost their parents or lost a sibling. And I launched a signature talk called Obstacle to Opportunity on the 1-year anniversary of my husband's death to show people that no matter what happens, that, you know, I want to make sure that my husband's legacy lives on. And so that's why all of these things are things that I've talked about in a way or, you know, things that I believed in. And I strongly believe that my husband died with a lot on the inside of him. And my mantra to myself since his passing is that if my time is to go tomorrow, I can't die with anything on the inside of me. So I have to get it all out.
Yeah.
I have to make sure that I get it all out.
I am amazed I'm not amazed. I know you're a child of God, so I'm not amazed at the strength that you have. I'm just so inspired by the ability to move forward towards what you have been called to do, you know. And I'm not going to even say in spite of. I'm going to say because of what you've been called to do, you know. And I think so many times, you know, we in the House Stops Now movement, whether it's a business or a dream or a vision or a law, or something that's moving you towards what you've been called to do, we ask ourselves how. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, God has given you the ability to move in your how to bless others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. I thank you for sharing, you know, what it is that you've experienced, to not just talk about it, but to do something about it. You know, so we're gonna jump right into the questions, right? So in the How Stops Now movement, you know, answering your how question in the affirmative, and like you say, how am I going to do this, and really just doing it. The first question I have for you is, what was the first thing that you did? You know, you had this experience, and so many times I think we as human beings, because we're human first, obviously, well, I should say we're children of God first, then we want to be human, that we have experiences of loss, and we lose it, right? We try to figure out why and how. And so for you, what was the first thing that you did after experiencing, and I'm going to call it a blessing at this time, if that's okay, and, you know, feel free to take that away. But I say blessing because your husband's life is not in vain, and you are the blessing for which his dreams will come true along with yours. So when this happened, what was the first thing that you did?
I would have to say for me, honestly, after the, well, here two things that I'm going to answer that in two ways. That night, it happened to be Holy Week when my husband passed. My church for the last couple of years has a church open for 24 hours around the clock during Holy Week. And So when I finally, after getting through, the police come in and do, you know, because he died at home, they do this interrogation and, you know, all those things. After getting through, like, all of that stuff, and after my husband's body was removed from our home, I looked at my girlfriend and I said, oh, my God, church is open. I need to go pray. I need to go to church. And she's like, right now? And mine's just like 4 a.m. She's like, right now? I'm like, right now. I need to get to the church right now. And I got to the church, and I'm getting emotional just thinking about it, because I laid out at the altar, and
I just prayed to God.
Like, allow me to blossom in whatever way you need me to be. If this is your will, Lord, you allow this to happen, then there's a greater reason, right? There's a greater cause. And so that is literally one of the first things that I did. And then after, you know, going through the process of, you know, the technical process of this funeral and all of those things, I was in therapy. I was in a therapist's office 3 weeks after my husband passed because I knew that that was what I needed to do. I couldn't do this without the help of a professional. There's no way in the world.
Amen to that. I'm so all about recognizing that there's no such thing as a coincidence. Like, there's no such thing as the fact that that entire week the church was open, and so God knew that there was something that he needed to bring forth through you and through your husband. Not only were you a blessing to your friends that were around, the fact that you showed up, and to your point about falling on your face, it gets to a point sometimes where that is all you need to do, you know, to get what you need, you know. And so I'm just I'm in awe of how God works and how he does things in a way that works through us so that we can be a blessing to others. Okay, so the second question I have for you is, you know, you talked about, you know, having this experience and then you going to the first church. That was the first thing you did, and then you obviously went to get help. And I think so many times in our community, help is seen as a barrier to something greater than us, you know, and I just believe that that's a part of the process, you know, asking for help and getting help. So where did you go to get started with the things that you wanted to do after having these experiences? And you, I know you're still in the grieving process, but as you're going through this totality of an experience, where did you go to get started? And I'll preface this with, I ask that question all the time through this How Stops Now movement, because so many times that is a fundamental question. Oh, my God, where do I go to get help? How do I do this? And for you, sometimes I think as individuals, we go internally, which is where we should go first, and then we're able to be exposed to things that we would have never seen had we not gone to our source. So for you, where did you go to get started with this, with all the wonderful things that you have accomplished up to this point based on the blessing that you experienced?
Oh, goodness. Where did I go first? That's an interesting question. And, you know, for me, in thinking about it, I would have to say, you know, I think I did ask myself the question of, How do you make this okay? In a, you know, like, it's not an okay situation, but how do you make it okay? And how do you stay strong? For me, my questions to myself were, how do I stay strong for that beautiful little girl of mine who, you know, who that's where the life comes from, right? I've often told my friends that, you know, I've often told them that I don't know if I could have accomplished the things that I've accomplished if it hadn't been for my daughter, because I think that, you know, I would have given myself the excuse. And what my daughter didn't allow me to do was make the excuses. Like, she really is, I think, my living angel. You know, just as a side note, she's a honeymoon baby. Like, my husband and I were supposed to, like, have a surgery before I got pregnant and all this stuff, and she's a honeymoon baby. So it's very intentional about her being here. And so for me, you know, I guess I would have to say that I started with me. I started with how are you going to make this work so that you can still have happy days. Of course, you're going to have sad days, but how are you going to make this work so that you can be a great mother and so that you can continue to be a good friend and so you can continue to be a good daughter? So I was, I asked myself the how question.
I'm sure. Yes, absolutely. You know, and I mean, you now you're a speaker, you're a coach, you're a consultant, you know, and I just think all those things, man, were birthed through you through this experience. Not to say that you wouldn't have been the things or you are already these things, but to have the sense of force and power behind it comes from experiences of triumph like this. And I you know, hey guys, we're all into this, but we gonna jump right into it. we are into the How Stops Now just show about inspiration and empowerment. We are walking through the steps that Ms. L. Davis has gone through and is going through as she processes what she has been called to do through the various experiences. And Elle, I'll say this, I lost my father when I was 16 years old, suddenly. It's like seeing him today or seeing me today all happy, healthy, the next day not seeing me again, similar to your experience. And I, one of the things I remember is going to the funeral home, right, the whole process of, you know, not only the insurance and all these things that you have to deal with. And I remember going to the funeral home and, you know, they dressed him up all in this, you know, his suit and everything. And I just felt so compelled to touch him because it wasn't real to me. And so I went over, I looked at him, and I touched him. And I was like, you know, I jumped back because he was cold. And one of the things I'll never forget that my mother told me, she said, honey, that is just a shell that held his soul, that is just a shell that held his spirit. It lives on. And so that changed the course of how I thought about death for the rest of my life. Because I felt like at that juncture that death, although so sad sometimes, although so trying, although so tribulatory, it is a part of life. You know, so
it is.
You know, yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, yeah.
No, it is a part of life. And I think what I've learned over the past year is that my husband lost his life, right? He lost his life, but that does not mean that my life is over. It does not mean that my daughter's life is over. And we, you know, I've heard people say when they lose someone, like, it's just the end. And it's like, it's the end of one thing, but it is definitely the beginning of something new. And it's all about our perspective about it. You know, it's all about how we view the situation. And I think for me, there were all these, you know, like you said, you don't necessarily believe in the coincidences, but there were all these like signs, right? So
as we're planning
the services and the program and all that for my husband blogged. He had a blog called Prayer Journey. And a girlfriend and mine were like looking at his blog. And when I tell you, Jamila, at the exact same moment, we came across the exact same blog on his page that is called Keep Moving, and it was about kind of it was his take when he lost his mother. He actually eulogized his mother, and he was just like, you know, no matter how you feel, no matter, you know, what the grieving process is, you still have to keep moving. We found it at the same time. We both let out the same, like, you know? And
oh,
it
wow.
was like, exactly. So it was those kinds of things that really empowered me and kept me moving. So to have my own husband's words kind of speak to me, they do. They speak life to me. Like, we put that on the program. We had one of our friends read it at his funeral services. So it gives me life to know that he kind of, like, you know, he speaks to me through his own words. So that's powerful. It's powerful for me.
Yeah, you know what, and that's, you know, while death is final on earth, it's not final in the spirit. And so that kind of speaks to your point, that he lives on. He lives on not only through your daughter, but through your experiences, through what we call coincidences or just God's way of remaining anonymous. and so we're constantly, you know, experiencing his goodness through what we consider to be loss, but to your point, just the beginning of something greater than what we could have ever expected. All right, so the third question I have for you, as you have become this wonderful speaker, coach, and consultant, When did you get started? I know this is soon because this happened just last year, but as you've gone through this process and you talk about going to counseling and getting the help that obviously you need, when did you get started on this journey of obstacles, turning obstacles into opportunity?
Oh, goodness. Probably like December.
Okay.
Probably just 6 months ago or so. No, honestly. So one of the things that happened shortly after my husband passed, one of my, a woman who I have long admired, Monique Caradine, she was hosting a retreat, a women's retreat in Puerto Rico, and she's like, you need to be there. And I, you know, agreed. I was just like, it was soon after, but I knew I just kind of needed to get away and just kind of breathe. And so I decided to join one of her coaching programs. Which also is very ironic because my husband and I had just talked about me, getting a coach, and we had actually brought up her name because the week before my husband passed, I had went to a speaker's conference. I've always wanted to speak from the stage, but wasn't sure what my message. I have a background in youth development, and I didn't know if I wanted it to be kind of the nonprofit world, or I didn't know what I wanted it to be, and so this happened literally 2 weeks after that conference, and then I went to a retreat and got involved in a coaching program, and I realized very early, and even 10 or 12 of my girlfriends stood around me the day after my husband passed and said, this is going to be your message. I'm looking at my whiteboard in my office right now, and I don't know which one of them wrote this, but one of them wrote, like, you're going to find gratitude in your pain, and you're going to show others how to push through your pain. I haven't erased it. It's been there since April 17th of last year, and I can't erase it because it's my reminder. And so I still didn't kind of know. When I first got involved in the coaching program, I still didn't quite know what the message was or what my signature talk was going to be. And then probably around, like, October, November, it just kind of came to me through those words. Like, I want to help people turn their obstacles into opportunity and live out whatever their legacy is in a real intangible way, right? Because we see obstacles and we think that we just can't, we can't overcome them. We're like, I don't know how to do that. Like you said, it's the negative of how, right? We're stuck. And I'm just like, you don't have to be stuck. There are ways to do it. You just have to, you know, make the decision. You have to make a choice to be able to do it. And that makes the big difference. So the work has not really been launched for very long, you know, but it probably came to me about 6 or 7 months ago.
Okay. You know, you talk about these obstacles, and I'm sort of odd in that I like obstacles because, you know, so many times we want to push the obstacles or what I rather would call a stumbling block, you know, to the side. You want to kind of walk through them or, you know, move them out of the way. And I do this presentation where I talk about obstacles and stumbling blocks are there as the foundation. So what I like to do when I have my obstacles and my stumbling blocks, I begin to stack them up. And I want you to see a visual of this. And those listeners out there, see a visual of this. So your obstacle, there's one, then put another one on top. But push it a little bit to the back. Put another one on top, push a little bit to the back. Put another one on top. And what you begin to see are stairs.
Stairs.
Right? You start
I
to
love
see
it.
Stairs. Uh-huh. And so as you begin to see these stairs, all you're supposed to do is start walking up those stairs. And so use your obstacles and those, what I like to call stumbling blocks, as a path to what you've been called to do anyway. So you need those obstacles is my point. You got to have them, you know, because if you don't have them, then you're not being able to create those stairs that you need to get to your next step, which is the destiny or the purpose that you've been called to do.
Jamila, I love that.
Girl, listen, I had enough obstacles to know, okay? So that's come from experience. So the next question I have for you is, who did you call to help you? And I know you talked about your girlfriends, and the reason why I ask this question, why it's critical for the House Stops Now, you know, philosophy, is because so many times, man, and this is for those individuals who are starting businesses and trying to figure out, and you have an idea and you tell somebody, And when you tell that person, they're like, I'm not sure you should do it that way, or you probably can't do that. And so you begin to sort of box in what you've been called to do based on a negative response. And that who is critical because you have to surround yourself around people who believe in you. Obviously, they give you truth, but that believe in you, that finds a way to get around whatever the obstacle may be or to help you to stack it up, I should say. So for you, who did you reach out to in this process? I know you mentioned Monique and a couple of your girlfriends. And you don't have to name names if you don't want to, but I ask this question because we have to surround ourselves around people who believe in what we've been called to do and then walk with us. So for you, who did you reach out to first?
So I am beyond blessed. I'm an only child to my parents, but I have an amazing group of friends who support me through everything and who have just been amazing. And so, honestly, that group of people has helped me through. They're the ones that I've called on to get therapy recommendations. They're the ones who, you know, came to the signature talk. They're the ones who, when I had the book release and we had a call about the book, they were the ones that were on the line. One of my friends from high school, her and her husband, and their family, every Tuesday were at their house for dinner. I have been blessed because my friends have been, you know, closer in some instances than family. They have checked on me. They've supported. It's probably about 20 or 30 people. Actually, who have just been there. And I even have pictures of when we were shortly after my husband passed and we were planning everything. And there's like 7 people at my house and we all got laptops up, like making stuff happen. Like that's the crew, you know, those are the people that have worked hard on my behalf and who have, you know, supported me and my daughter in this past year, who have taken my daughter as their own child and, you know, made sure she was okay and dressed and off school and all of those things. So really, it's already having that support and having, like, really knowing that they have your back no matter what. And I've seen that this past year. So it doesn't start when you face the obstacle. It starts beforehand, and that's what people have to really truly get, is that you have to be a good friend before you need somebody and before you need to call on them. Because when you're already that friend, then they're there. They're there no matter what.
That's good. All right, we have listeners out there. We have walked through the how stops now. Philosophy, what, where, when, and whom. Elle, I want to ask you a question that's outside of the philosophy, and that is, what would you tell a woman who has experienced what you've experienced? You know, what were the wisdom, what were the encouragement, inspiration would you give her? Or a man, we may have a man that's listening that may have lost his spouse. What would you tell them?
I tell people who have lost their spouse that I come in contact with to find a way, find the opportunity to live out their spouse's legacy. And I tell them that because that gives you the motivation that you really need to make it through the next day. When you remove yourself from the situation and you really, you know, the whole reason that you should get married is so that you can, you know, do the things that your spouse loves and treat your spouse in a way. It's not about us individually. And so even when we lose them, if we continue to live out their legacy and we create opportunities so that they can shine even in their death, it makes a world of difference. And it's made the world of difference for me, because it's not necessarily about me, but all the things that have come up have been things that my husband and I have talked about, whether he wanted to do or whether I wanted to do. But when I do it because I think about what he could have done, then it gives me the motivation that I need.
You know what? That is so deep, because you said even early in the call that you don't want to leave this earth with everything that you have on the inside. You want to empty it out. Right, you want to empty out every ounce of blessing that you've been given. And I just think that is just an amazing process. All right, here's some tough questions for you, Elle. All right, you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, all right. All right, the first tough question I have for you would be, what would you tell your younger self? What would you tell your younger self?
Wow, what would I tell my younger self? I would tell my younger self that you are going to see things in life and experience life in a way that you don't see coming. You're gonna plan things in a way that you want it to happen, but that's not always how it ends.
Okay. It's not always how it. So you're gonna experience things that you're not expecting to happen. That's good. All right. The second question is, what would you tell your future self, the Elle Davis who has become the most successful woman that you envisioned her to be? And the reason why I say it that way is because so many times we allow society to determine what we deem to be successful, right? And I fight against that every single day because success is defined by your own experience, by your own purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, what would you tell the Elle Davis who is the woman, and you may have a big house on the hill now, right? But it's a woman that's her big house on the hill, you know, that has, you know, inspired millions and millions of people. And I speak that over you. I speak that to you. I speak that through
Amen.
You.
Amen.
That inspired millions. What would you tell her?
I would tell her that the thing that you thought would break you is the thing that built you.
The things that you thought would break you are the things that built you.
Yep.
That is awesome. That's awesome. First of all, I'm honored to be in your presence. I'm honored that you decided to join me today on this journey as we walk through House Talks Now. My prayer for you is that you inspire millions, that you continue to walk in the walk that God has laid out for you. While to your point, it may not look how we want it to look sometimes, it is always still a blessing. And so I'm just thankful for the blessing that you are, that you have become, and that you are continuing to become. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jamila. Thank you for having me. It's been awesome talking to you and sharing my story.
Good deal. So for those listeners out there, we have talked to Ms. Elle Davis, a powerful woman who is sharing her journey of not, I wouldn't even say loss, but winning, right? Just of winning in life through her husband's experiences on earth and through her daughter's experiences. And so the last thing I'll leave with the listeners out there is that the only difference, and this is key, the only difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that there's extra on top, and the extra is simply faith. So continue to believe not only in yourself, but continue to believe in the vision that God has given you. Thank you so much. And remember, at the end of the day, how stops now. Take care, everybody.